Welcome to a brand new episode of the ZC Podcast, where I forgot to come up with an intro before the show because it is late. We just got back from Denver Comic Con
yesterday.
And I'm Zach.
I'm Zach.
Don't break the illusion.
And this is...
What's my name? I don't know my name. Who are you people? Where am I?
Is this a symptom of con plague?
Mom?
Just sudden...
Help.
Sudden loss of
memory.
Yeah. It was Dreamin's dude. Or not his Dreamin's.
Those Dreamin's.
Look, man, it's been a long day. I woke up at 3 in the morning to go to the airport.
Because you offered to.
I did.
I was up till 2 in the morning. We both got that end of the spectrum. I got the super late day after being up since 6. And then I took a nap in between all that. But
I don't like napping. I just feel like it's a waste of
time. I was
day.
Just so tired at 9:30 at night. I'm like, I have 4 hours to kill.
I mean, every now and again,
I'm going to sleep.
I love a good nap. When you're like, I'm done with everything. Just lay down and then
see. Gone.
Sounds like you could use a nap.
You know, there's something wrong. Like, I just legitimately was just shut down. I hit the wall. But speaking of Denver Comic Con and superheroes, which we'll talk about later. One of the big news things that came out this past week, including a little bit leaked last week, was the official title of the second Wonder Woman film written by Geoff Johns called Wonder Woman 1984. And Geoff Johns, Patty Jenkins, Gal Gadot have all been teasing promotional set photos. I didn't even realize it was filming.
Yeah, I think they must have recently started.
Unless
filming
it's just principal photography.
Could be.
Like, my favorite thing was Diana sitting in front of all the television screens. And I'm like, that's just such a cool juxtaposition.
That's like a Batman thing.
Yeah, it's like, it's so out of her element, especially since last movie was the World War II period piece.
World War One.
Yes, sorry.
It's like she followed, it's like her watching everything exploding in front of her. It's like, fuck, I got to do something.
Right. And the biggest thing that came out of this was Patty Jenkins shared a picture of Steve Trevor being alive, wearing like a tracksuit, kind of just lots of gray.
Oh, God, he's part of the Russians. They all wear tracksuits.
Adidas.
Adidas. Bro.
The big thing is how people are wondering and trying to speculate how Steve Trevor's alive. And I kind of want to figure out what your guys' thoughts were on that. Because we kind of touched base
on it. Yeah,
we
kind of bounced ideas around with it. I think the idea you and me talked about was that, like, since Diana was fighting against the gods, we know that the gods exist in this universe. So, this is like an act of good faith or goodwill from Zeus. Like, right as Steve Trevor explodes, he just sucks him out and throws him into the future or something.
Mm-hmm. There could also be the grand convenience of his child or grandchild being named Steve Trevor, looking the exact same.
How would it be his grandchild? He never mentioned he had like a kid or anything or a wife during the first movie. It'd be kind of weird and out of left field,
you know,
I think.
Sleeping around, who knows?
Maybe, wait, does Steve Trevor have a brother?
No.
Steve
Trevor's just eternal. It's one of those things that just survives all forms of continuity.
I mean, it's like how Batman has, without no one mentioning it, been Batman for 52 years. If you go back to the Adam West Batman, even go further back, it's like, has no one really just thought about how Batman's been Batman for...
Well, they keep retconning it, so right. It turns back to 25.
So it's like, Steve Trevor is just like one of those retcon things of like, hey, Steve Trevor died. No, he didn't. Okay, cool.
Oh, neat.
Also could be PTSD. Like, maybe she just seen things.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always the easy one.
The David Tennant to her Jessica Jones.
Yeah, in a way that feels like, I don't know, it robs some of Diana's character. Like, I went to the Wonder Woman panel with Meredith Finch, Brian Azzarello, and a few other different creators that all worked on the title.
And all very different ideas. It was interesting. Like, it like completely ends of the spectrum. Like, Azzarello is very much like, he likes messing around with the god continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Azzarello is a sass master.
Dude, he was... That I expected nothing less, knowing what I know of him.
Every panel I've seen with him on him now, it's always been like someone asks a question, he'd say something and give them like the, Well, what else do you expect? Answer.
Yeah.
So he's like the fight me on this.
Yeah. It's like, well, what do you think about this? Like, it doesn't happen. Duh. Yeah. It's like, ooh, it's a little too much sass for me.
Yeah.
Like, they're just asking an honest question.
When they were when we were at the Wonder Woman panel, they were talking about Steve Trevor and, like, does Diana need Steve Trevor? And obviously all the panelists said no.
Except the one old Italian guy who wrote him.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I love the relationship between Diana and Steve Trevor. It's like, I would love to see, or no, he hates Steve Trevor, but wants to see her with a romantic interest. While everyone else is like, no, she doesn't need a romantic interest. That's what makes her Wonder Woman.
Yeah, and especially to that same vein, though, like, when they were talking, like, of the romantic interest, they're like, yeah, I know, Steve Trevor is, like, the one. It's, you know, he's not necessarily the lowest to Superman figure, but it's the one character that kind of transcends all of that continuity thing that Steve was bringing up, and it's like, it's the one character that just works, like, even Azarella had to admit, it's like, Gal Gadot had really great on-screen chemistry with Chris Pine. And they also had really great chemistry with Ben Affleck. I don't care. Diana doesn't need a boyfriend. That's that.
And I got myself thinking about, like, what if there was a book of the non-retcon, like, OG Batman, where time actually kept going.
Oh, God, he's just...
Where it's like, so somehow he actually, he's lived...
He gets up to Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, somehow he's lived to be over 100, and he's been fighting his villains for... When did Batman...
1972, or 27.
So yeah, he's been fighting his villains for almost 100 years. Like, do that with, like, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. Give me the Trinity.
Steve, are
with
you ready?
That. No, does it actually exist?
There's a title.
I mean, not Justice League 3000, but, like...
No. There's Batman Superman Generations, and it was two separate volumes. So there's Generations and then Generations 2. And they start out in the 1920s, and then each issue is a different decade moving up in the timeline. So eventually you see Bruce Wayne retire. He hands the Batman mantle to Dick, but then Dick and Helena are Batman and Batwoman, and they're going off on adventures.
Wait, Helena Wayne?
Yes.
How the fuck did she get introduced?
Because Bruce got married to Selina, had a daughter eventually at some point.
So this is okay, so this is just the Generations.
Yeah.
But see that,
so okay, so Bruce and Selina has been done three different times now.
So it's similar to what I'm thinking, but what I'm thinking of not retiring, but just like the realization of like eventually 1927 Batman realized like he stays the same age, but realized like, wait, I've been doing this for 100 years. What's happened? Like, yeah. I want the breaking the fourth wall of, like, what time warp has happened that I've been the Batman for 100 years.
Yeah, well, so what the cool thing is with Generations, like, again, is, like, a very, very long sliding time scale where the Wayne family and the Kent family enter, like, get intertwined. So Clark and Lois marry. They have Joel Kent and Kara Kent. And Joel Kent eventually marries May Lay. And they have Clark Wayne.
I love Super Smash.
And then Amanda Mason. And then they have Lois Wayne and Lara Wayne. And then, oh God, this is such a weird continuity. Eventually, what happens is that Bruce, like, in his old age, becomes the new Ra's al Ghul, but uses, like, the Leave Assassins for good. And he remains immortal.
I feel like you've told me
immortal.
This story.
Yeah, he remains immortal. And Superman, because of his advanced aging, stays alive. And they're like, well, Clark, it's just me and you at the very end. And it's just like, the hell is the story? But it's really cool because they do go through each of the different decades. And they each go through these different stories that, like, it's just so bizarre. Like,
how bizarre?
Hang on.
I might have to read it.
So the last year.
Also, okay, before we get too far away from Wonder Woman. Oh. Also, there was footage leaked from the set of Wonder Woman. Of Gal Gadot in a harness, in a pilot's position, they're fucking bringing in the invisible jet.
Woo!
This movie is gonna be so wild.
I really hope it's gonna be in the same vein of Greg Rucka's reboot, where it's like, let's take Steve Trevor's crash plane and then put Amazon technology on it. But oh, my big thing for Steve Trevor. Sorry, this is what we were originally talking about.
The one I brought up to you was, since we know Cheetah is going to be the one of the villains of the film, mm-hmm. what if the god,
oh yeah,
the ancient plant god, Urzkartaga, I don't know how to say this name, can't wait for the movie, Urzkartaga, the spirit of the cheetah thing, is trying to tempt Diana into becoming its next
host.
And it's like, if you do this, I'll bring back Steve Trevor for you. Yeah.
I don't know. Mine kind of goes along the gods giving Diana a little mercy of, like, through everything. It's like, you know what? You deserve this here, Steve Trevor. Like, we saved him at the last second. Don't know where he's been through all of the wars, but...
He's here.
He's just Wolverine. He and Logan are there with Captain America dicking around.
Bub.
Dude, in the freaking... God, I can't even remember what Marvel comic was. I think it was Thor issue 1 that came out last week with Jason Aaron.
I think so.
Where Thor is going to the end of the world. Like, he's old man Thor at this point. He's done.
Is just everybody old now these days?
Jason Aaron did it second. 2011 God Butcher arc where young Thor, current Thor, and old Thor all teamed up to defeat the God Butcher.
I mean, shit.
Oh, yeah. Holy shit, no, he just brought it back.
Yeah, no, Jason Aaron's been doing the same story this entire time.
No. Okay, I remember a scene from God Butcher of him of young Thor talking to old Thor with the arm. He's like, what the fuck happened to me?
He's like, where are you in time? Have you become the space cop yet? Have you formed the Asgardians of the galaxy yet? And it's like, the fuck are you on? And then, sure enough, Marvel's actually canceling Guardians of the Galaxy this year.
Really?
Canceling, quote unquote. And they're rebooting it as Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, my God.
Oh, fuck.
It's half.
How did...
Jason Aaron has
no. Did we not talk about this?
No.
No.
Let me look it up really quick.
But
by the way.
The old man stuff, it's like they're doing old man Power Rangers, essentially. They're doing an old man Tommy story.
You didn't throw that on the list of... The new Power Rangers writer.
Oh, so excited.
I guess that we can lump that under Denver Comic Con.
Yeah. By the way, in the Generations comic too, they do time travel. So like Lois is in the future and that's how she learns.
I'm doing timestamps. Fuck me.
Oh.
We're still on the same thing. It's okay.
Just put the timestamp at like the very beginning. What were we talking about before?
Sure,
Thor? I thought Wonder of something, Woman. But then he brought up Thor.
Old man Thor.
Before that.
Wonder Woman. The God Butcher.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about Logan and Captain America. I saw a depressing thought about Captain America, is if he went into ice when he did... He didn't know about Hiroshima and Nagasaki when he woke up.
Yeah.
Like, someone had to explain that to him.
It's like, yeah, you're...
There could have been a better way.
Your sacrifice didn't really...
Like, again,
the war.
It's like all of those things of, like, the... What did they have to explain to Captain America when he came out of ice?
I feel like...
They're just like... Ooh.
I feel like they either had like a video log documentary series narrated by Nick Fury at that point. Like, no, I'm thinking the MCU version.
Carl Sagan. The universe. It's like,
Ken Burns.
How did we get Carl Sagan?
Ken Burns, yes.
Yeah.
The 20th century.
And when it came to Penguins, they brought in Benedict Cumberbatch.
So this got announced on the 7th. So there is a new title being called, or that's called As Guardians of the Galaxy. So it's not necessarily canceling Guardians, but it's going to be Thor's collective space force. So we got Angela, the Destroyer.
All right.
Nice, she's back.
Angela, comma, the Destroyer, the villain from the first Thor film.
Okay.
Except someone's in it as a pilot.
Okay.
The Brunhild, the OG Valkyrie.
Okay.
Brunhilde.
So not Tessa Thompson version that's running around in Exiles, which is like an amalgamation of different... Actually, that's the concept of Exiles. It's just different people from different time points in universes teaming up. Throg. Scourge, the Executioner. He's back to life. He had one of the best stories ever. Like, the end of Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Yeah, his last stand was like the very much the same as his stand in the Ragnarok. It's just like Scourge. Precious.
Even though you didn't do much of the movie.
Yeah. Kevin Masterson, known as Thunderstrike, and Frog Thor. Oh, that's what Throg is. Okay. So the writer is going to be Colin Bion with artist Matteo Lilly. Spinning on the events of Infinity Wars comes an epic space opera from the superstar team of Colin Bion and Matteo Lilly, Angela, the not-so-beloved half-sister of Thor, the hot-headed Valkyrie, and the human who shares her form, Annabelle Riggs, Scourge, the executioner, freshly returned from hell, Throg, the mightiest frog of thunder, Kevin Matterson, the boy who took his father's mace to become the hero Thunderstrike, and the Destroyer, the Asgardian armor built to take down Celestials, its wielder. Unknown.
But where's Beta Ray Bill?
I don't know. He's doing Beta Ray Bill things. So the original Marvel teaser was the Guardians of the Galaxy are no more, who are the Asgardians of the Galaxy. So I'm like, wow, Jason Aaron, look at you. You are leaving all these little things, and now your little things become real because you're like the most... I feel like who's ever in control of the Avenger book at the time it gets to dictate. Yeah.
Well, it's like he planted a little garden. Mark didn't really of do like, much. Let me take this Asgard to the galaxy seed, put that right there. Let me water it. That'll bloom into something here in a couple of years.
Just wait like 7 years. We'll be there.
Yeah, give it time.
Yeah. It's like how Snyder has been telling the same Batman story, essentially. Well, metaphorically, he's been telling the same Batman story, whereas Jason Aaron has literally been telling the same Thor story since the Marvel Now ages. And Mark Waid, I think his one big event was like the, what's the current event going on? I almost said it was Avengers No Justice. No Surrender.
Avengers.
Where they brought back Hulk. Mm. And then they did like the few Champions crossovers because Mark Waid was also writing those. Yeah.
And that gave us Human Viv.
And Robot Viv. Viv 2.
2.0.
It's weird. Has anything come out of that, really?
I haven't been catching up on... I need to catch up on Champions, because they've done, like, the team shuffle around, where they brought in, who's...
Riri.
Ant Wasp.
Oh, Unstoppable Wasp?
Yeah.
Jane Van Dyne?
Yeah, they brought in Jane, they brought in Riri, Cyclops...
Hope
Van Dyne. Yes, they brought in Hope, they brought in Riri, Cyclops is gone.
Thank God.
I liked Teen Cyclops.
Nobody liked Scott Summers.
Mostly, I only liked him because it was like the My Future Self did what?
Hold on, what?
What do you mean? It's like and Hitler. Cyclops, who fucked everything up. It's like, I did what?
See, I felt so bad when Richard Rider came back and he was met with all of the teen heroes. It's like, look, it's Miss Marvel. You're not Carol. Spider-Man. You're really short.
Wait, so is Carol dead? No, now she's Captain Marvel.
Yeah, and Cyclops, future self is dead. He's future Hitler, apparently.
It's like Carol is now Captain Marvel. What happened to Mar-Vale? Cancer. What? It's like, Ken Burns, help. We need a slideshow documentary.
Well, I mean, Richard Rider did go to the Cancerverse, so I think he would understand.
The Cancerverse?
Yeah, that's where he got banished to at the end of Annihilation, him like, and Star-Lord.
Like, actual, like, made of cancer?
No, it was like these giant space demons that kept, like, reproducing. Go read Annihilation.
Okay, because when you say, like, crabs? The cancer dimensions, like, so, like, everything's cancer?
Alright.
Everything is the internet?
So, the Cancerverse is reality... 10,011. When the Terrigen Bomb exploded to end the war between the Kree and the Shi'ar, it also created the Fault, a massive rip in the fabric of reality itself. Adam Warlock succeeded in halting the rapid spread of its deadly region, creating a horrendous scenario which recreated the evil version of him, also known as Magus. Quasar, Wendell Vaughn, went on a fact-finding mission into the Fault, which was organized by Project Pegasus. So just whatever.
Marvel website. It's going to go into every last detail about it. Which we have we even gotten past the first point yet?
No.
Like this, I know this stemmed off of Wonder Woman, but.
Well, anyways, Wonder Woman 1984 looks great. This is what happens when we record late. We're just, I'm out of it.
I mean, you're the one who brought up Thor, and then led down more Thor, and then has Guardians of the Galaxy. Now Cancerverse.
That was news, technically, that we missed on last week. It was announced on the 7th. So, Steve, spinning out of Denver Comic Con, though, was some really exciting news from Boom Studios.
Okay.
Oh, you mean a little comic called Power Rangers? But, Zach, Kyle Higgins is writing that, right?
Not anymore.
But who's taking over?
Our one true hero, Marguerite Bennett.
She was so happy when I brought it up to her at her booth.
What's funny is I conveniently got to talk to her right as Batwoman was announced, and she was just as excited about that.
It's like I was getting a couple things signed, and I'm like, so my friend told me you're writing Power, and she's like, oh my god, yes, I'm so excited to work with Kyle. It's like, it's such a great project. I'm like, my best friend is the editor, and I'm like,
So at this point, Zach just leaves the table now when we bring up Power Rangers.
I mean,
he doesn't even sit through it.
It's probably potty time for him. He'll have to listen to this at some point.
I feel a little offended. But what's crazy about her Power Rangers team, Steve?
I'm good. Had some congestion. Wait, okay, Zach's back. Continuing the Power Rangers talk.
What's crazy about Marguerite Bennett's Power Rangers team, Steve?
See, I did that
because it's not any of the Mighty Morphin team.
Because they're all dead at the end of Shattered Grid, confirmed.
You shut your whore mouth. Actually, wait, no. There is one who can go away. If you know, Zach were to happen to die and Adam were to take his place, I wouldn't be upset.
I think it'd be interesting to see what happens when we retire the original six for a little while.
Well, because what the article that you sent me said is they're done with this team for the foreseeable future. Like, this is going to be the team for the book going forward.
Yeah.
Did Shattergrid finish?
Nope. It ends in August, I think.
So, I think Higgins said he's writing the finale right now.
Yeah. This article is coming from Sci-Fi, or this piece is coming from Sci-Fi Wire. Current writer Kyle Higgins compares the transition, which won't reset the story, to a familiar Marvel tale. One of my favorite comic runs and transitions of all time is when Brian Michael Bendis was leading Daredevil, and he developed this really cool situation where Matt was in prison. Ed Brubaker came on and said, no, don't put the toys back in the toy box. Keep them out. Leave them there. I want to do that. It was just a really natural way of continuing the story that Brian had built. He goes on to say that the world of Power Ranger, or Sci-Fi goes on to say, the world Power Ranger fans agree to love won't be blown apart by new creative's arrival, but take the story and extrapolate its changes from its finale. Bennett speaking to how she'll take over from Higgins said that he really does leave Daredevil in prison, as they say. So he has to find a way of doing the narrative equivalent of a prison break. So part of that is constructing a new team. The new cover depicts a grouping of Rangers for the team, including the Ranger Slayer from Go-Go Power Rangers comic series, Magna Defender from Lost Galaxy, Tanya from Zeo, Cam from Ninja Storm, and Andros in Space, an unidentified Dino Charge Ranger. So there are things coming up in the finale of Shattered Grid that are going to make this new team of Power Rangers not only possible but necessary, said by Kyle Higgins. So one of the big things, too, on Higgins' Twitter was he was saying, like, as he and the artists were finishing up Shattergrid, it's like, well, here's where the story can go next. But then he was like, actually, what if we handed off the story from here? Because with Shattergrid, hopefully everything gets fixed. But again, is that concept of not putting the toys back in the toy box. Well, Marguerite Bennett gets to come over, and it's like, I want Tanya.
But that's the thing. Like, you think about it now, with Shattergrid, they have Tanya. Their Tommy's dead. Like, slit throat dead.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that, like, she's going to be on the team. Like, I need to go somewhere. Here you go. But why the Ranger Slayer?
Go work it out.
Yeah.
I have so many questions that need answers.
Decker Ranger Death from Dino Charge. That was never actually used.
I didn't understand a single word you just said there.
And it was Kiryu Death.
Kiryu Death. Sorry, Decca. Yeah,
Decca is SPD.
Yeah. So, in our Power Rangers, in the U.S. Power Rangers, was actual Power Rangers, this Ranger was never used. They only exist in the Super Sentai world. So everyone's kind of like, huh, okay. Interesting. Originally, Steve and I both thought it was Yoshi because it's a blue Dino Charge Ranger. We're like, yeah, Yoshi!
But it makes sense when you look at it. It has more
fins,
and the color is off on him. But yeah, this is hasn't been in a Power Ranger show. But Marguerite Bennett is pulling it into the... And she says there's a reason for this. Like, a reason for this whole team. But she won't reveal anything. Damn it. I need answers. Don't play games with my heart.
Oh, don't worry. You'll get answers. Marguerite Bennett loves her dialogue in, like, world building.
She also loves, like, the long game.
Yeah, she loves the long game. Like, to get the full effect of her stories, you really got to read it from start to finish.
In one sitting.
I mean, it'll help.
In two sittings.
But it's Power Rangers. I can't just read it in one sitting. I have to read it as it comes out.
So, you love Marguerite Bennett. Like, yes. You enjoy her writing. I really like Would that. You try a Power Rangers comic?
Probably not still, just because for Marguerite Bennett, I've always been drawn to at least her ideas, like her independent stuff, like, has always been interesting. Again, I just don't have any drive to read Power Rangers, especially after this whole big storyline where it's like, you kind of probably need to know some of this.
You just need to know the universe got broken and people are dead.
So once upon a time, there's a magical space wizard called Zordon of Eldar.
No.
He was a mage, actually.
Sorry, space mage called Zordon of the planet Eldar.
What does he refer to himself as when he goes up to the red, yellow, blue?
I don't remember. I think he might have been a sage.
Sage, not mage.
So an ancient space sage named Zordon of the planet Eldar.
He had 5 mystical coins that could turn you into something greater than yourself.
And 10,000 years ago, he fought against an ancient Eva called Rita Repulsa.
And her husband, Lord Zedd.
Wasn't husband at the time. But Zordon trapped Rita in a dumpster on the moon. Now, the only reason she's in a dumpster is because that's where she was in the Sentai footage. But we just got with it. After 10,000 years, was freed by 2 stupid astronauts who was never named. We don't even know if they got back to Earth.
No, they're dead.
But after she was freed, Zordon needed fighters. He needed warriors. He needed teenagers with attitude.
But before that, actually, he needed some hippies during the Cold War era. Actually, one hippie from the
Power Rangers
era.
Been around since the 60s?
Well, they reveal that they needed a team of Power Rangers in 1969 because a Psycho Ranger had crashed on Earth on the moon and then was revived. So they used the 1969 moon mission to get the Power Rangers there. And so he chose a cosmonaut, a hippie, a protester, a FBI agent.
And a police officer? Maybe. I don't know. I don't remember.
But they were the 1969 Rangers, where the lead Red Ranger was a girl, gasp, I know. And the Pink Ranger was a dude who wasn't gay.
Blasphema.
But now Power Rangers are social justice warriors because there's more than one girl on the team.
There was an explosion from Twitter of Power Rangers comics are becoming social justice warrior books.
And can you look at the original lesson of Power Rangers where it's like, let's go do good in the universe.
Hey. Do good, include everyone, be a helpful member of your community, don't escalate fights.
Like, there's an episode of Power Rangers where they're just picking up garbage for half the episode, doing community service for fun. Let's think, 3 of these teens went to the World Peace Summit, man.
One of them taught karate lessons at the local youth center to keep kids off the streets.
We're actually talking about the actual show.
Like, people don't seem to really get the mess of Power Rangers, which a lot of people came and defended it. Like, for funsies, I looked through the original post of, like, man, this is all about social justice warriors now.
It's terrible now, dudes.
And, like, going through it, it was like, it's like, man, I thought this was going to be good. I'm going to cancel my order on the trade paperback of Shattered Grid now.
We saw the same tweet then.
Yeah, it's like going through all of them. I'm like, Oh, honey, you don't understand Power Rangers, do you?
Power Rangers were the original social justice warriors. And they put the warrior in the W.
It's like if, and then someone retweeted the, or quoted the tweet and be like, I guess it's strange when people don't understand the meaning of the text they read.
That was Kyle Higgins.
Yeah. It's like, God's like, you just don't.
You're literally just reading service level
it's
here.
Like, you don't get it, do you?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I would give it the first issue a read.
Dude, like, maybe. Again, I was originally sold when Kyle Higgins was announced to be the writer. I'm like, fuck, I love Cowl. I love his Nightwing run. Gates of Gotham was great. I should check out Power Rangers. Never did. Steve moved in. Man, Shattered Grid. That's the only thing I'm pulling.
I read issue zero, got behind, read like 13 issues in a row. Like, I need more of this. And then Shattered Grid happened. I'm like, I made the right decision.
Yeah.
Problem is with all like there's like new Vertigo stuff coming and freaking Sanctuary. Like, that's going to be like its own series. It's like, fuck, I don't have enough time to read all this.
Well, I think the real turning point of like when I was
the podcast entirely then,
like when I was fully set on it was the 1969 Rangers. Where it's like, this is a, it's like, this story is far beyond what Power Rangers was, is when people fucking died. When one of them got a palm to the face, broke their visor, and they suffocated on the moon. I was like,
oh no.
Oh, Kyle Higgins.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, let's see what Shattered Grid starts off. Oh, they just killed Tommy. That is the most you could ever escalate the stakes.
I was gonna say, like, neat, 25, all right, good, world building, good, last page. Like,
oh no.
My heart. You just stabbed my heart.
And I read it before Steve did, so when he got home, I'm like, let me sit down and read this.
Well, yeah, like, I had my comics. Kayla, you were watching My Hair with Kayla. She's still watching. I just see every now and again, like, look over, like, not yet.
He hasn't gotten back. Not yet.
I see his lips do like yet. The Titan thing where it just goes in. I'm just like, he's there.
Well, no, when I got to that, like, I was reading that page, like, I got the quizzical look, and then got to that last page, and just jaw dropped. Like, what did he do? What's happening?
Yeah. And the other big thing, as you know, much of a bummer it is to see Kyle Higgins leave, he's not leaving technically. They've also announced Power Rangers Soul of the Dragon. It's an exciting name.
Let's see. Yeah.
So, this article is coming from comicbook.com. Tommy Oliver has had quite the career as a Power Ranger, but fans will get to see a whole new side to him and even meet his family in the new Mighty Morphin Power Rangers graphic novel from Boom! Studios, period. The original graphic novel is titled Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Soul of the Dragon and focuses on a previously unexplored time in Tommy Oliver's history. After his time as the Black Dino Ranger in Dino Thunder, after Tommy has moved on from being a Power Ranger, letting SPD Rangers defend the world. Space Patrol Delta, Zach. Space cops.
Not really space cops, though, when the space comes to Earth.
Best series? You'd like that one.
Unfortunately, fight you over that. Jungle Fury, best series.
His son goes missing, and he'll have to discover some things about his past and join up with some surprising teammates to find him and bring him his... Bring him home safely. Oh, that's... I can't read. The book is being written by Mighty Morphin Power Rangers writer Kyle Higgins and is drawn by Justice League vs. Suicide Squad, Giuseppe Caffaro, and Jason David Frank is also on board as a special consultant.
Let's see.
And the cover is really cool because it's like Green Ranger, White Ranger, Red Zeo, Red Turbo, Black Dino Thunder, and then Old Man Tommy, complete with like the Old Man Wolverine, like,
is he like the old Bruce Wayne to the Batman Beyond?
Yeah, and he, I guess this was one of the fun things that that Jason David Frank was teasing when Shattered Grid came out. It's like, Kyle Higgins and I have big things planned in store. I thought it was gonna be like another one-off live-action thing, but seeing this be something really cool. And then I can see them doing another one-off live-action thing because it's like Old Man Tommy looking for his son. But now the question is, who's the mother? Is it Kimberly? Is it Kat? Is it Tanya? I don't know why Tanya would
say why Tanya?
I don't know.
Like, the three options are Kimberly, Kat, And I'm blanking on her name from Dino Thunder, who ran the bar.
Oh, his who was supposed to be Kat.
Yeah. Or who ran the hangout spot. Oh, God.
It's not Kate.
I'm a fake nerd.
It's okay. We'll watch it later.
I'm trying to find it before Zach. Damn it, Haley.
Yeah. So we get the old man Tommy storyline now. So we have old man Logan, old man Hawkeye, old lady X-23,
old lady Kamala in one
old lady book. Kamala in Exiles, old lady Harley, now old man Green Power Ranger.
Everyone's old.
DC. Let's DC Marvel. Let's get this team up going. YouTube boom. Just get all of them. The event
geriatrics. Let's not forget the original old man story, Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, you already got your old man Batman there.
Yeah, and then he teams up with Batman from Batman Beyond as the other old man Batman.
The Event Geriatrics League.
The powerful Event Geriatrics
League. The Mighty Morphin Event Geriatrics League.
Oh, God.
Coming to a theater near you. Never.
This is one of the Avenged Geriatrics. Like, he thinks he's a Power Ranger. Like, he just like he just takes some morphine and thinks he's transforming.
It's
like
morphine time.
It's morphine time. Okay, like, he's walking in slowly in his walker, and he's getting lit up. Like, he's getting shot. It's like, I can't feel a thing. And then when he demorphs, it's like when all of his injuries show. Oh, God. When he comes down from the high.
I'm invincible. The healing factor will kick in. You don't have a healing factor, you Grandpa.
Never did.
You're not a meta. You're not a mutant.
Tell that to the opioids.
Oh, wait. I feel the blood loss now. Shit. Oh. And then Tommy just backflips over the dead body.
There's a couple flips, and then there's an explosion from kicking something.
Well, no, that's when they all pose, that's when they explode.
Well, no, it's not an explosion. It's colored smoke now.
Oh.
Explosions are too expensive. They actually fire the guy that, the director that did, like, explosions and everything.
Right. Like, during the Disney era, every, like, pose and every, like, hit would be an explosion in the background. Like,
explosion!
Like, they'll jump with their sword in the air, and they'd be like, explosion in the background for no reason. Like, why?
Was Megumin the director? Explosion, then!
There were too many explosions.
Speaking of explosions, a giant bombshell is going to open up in the DC universe. This article is coming from Newsarama, and it's DC Heroes in Crisis, Sanctuary, which was the original working title. And Tom King did briefly speak on this at the panel Steve and I went to with social justice, social causes in comics.
You're just stuck on social justice warriors now, aren't you?
Social justice warriors in comics, which everyone should be. It's not a negative thing.
I do love how on that panel,
take it back,
Tom King was like just out of nowhere. It's like, well, it's just the opinion of a bald white guy on the panel here. It's like, well, at least he knows.
Well, at the same time, it's like, guys, I'm normally the funny one on the panel, and I have to be serious. Because again, if you look at all of Tom King's books, anxiety, stress, PTSD, it's like Mitch Jarrett's, it's like, really want Tom to write something happy after Mr. Miracle, because I remember like drawing Sheriff and I had to take like a cold shower and cry in it.
Yeah, there's some brutal scenes in that book.
Yeah. So with Heroes in Crisis, this is going to be debuting in September, and it's where Harley Quinn and Booster Gold are going to be some of the lead characters. There's a new kind of crisis facing the heroes, and as Tom King wanted to clarify, it is not a crisis-level event in DC. It's Heroes in Crisis.
Okay, that clears it up. I was like, is this going to be the next crisis event?
No. So, facing the heroes of the DC universe, ripped from the real-world headlines by CIA operative-turned-comics writer Tom King, how does a superhero handle PTSD? Welcome to everything Tom King writes.
Welcome to the Thunder Tome.
Welcome to Sanctuary, an ultra secret hospital for superheroes who've been traumatized by crime fighting and cosmic combat, but something goes inexplicably wrong when patients wind up dead, with two well-known operators as prime suspects, Harley Quinn and Booster Gold. It's up to the DC Trinity, Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman to investigate, but can they get the job done in the face of overwhelming opposition? So Tom King also included a fact sheet for Sanctuary. Sanctuary is a safe place for superheroes to explore the trauma of their event, of their violent lives, and deal with the other effects of the fight. They come, they rest, they confess, they move on. Which, what was it? That one episode of Young Justice?
Yeah.
The, Aftermath?
Yeah, where they had failsafe. Yeah. Like, they sit down and like, well, you guys kind of fucked with our minds.
We're fine.
So.
We're fine, though.
Just Dick Grayson breaks my heart all the time. Sanctuary was built 5 years ago when Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman realized that emerging superheroes would sometimes need help dealing with the worst parts of the job. To the outside world, Sanctuary appears to be a small, isolated ranch in rural Nebraska, but under the illusion, the ranch is in reality a sophisticated futuristic compound based on Kryptonian technology. Sanctuary is manned solely by robots and holograms. The only real people at Sanctuary are heroes. Sanctuary provides the therapy the heroes of the DC universe need, which I'm very interested in. The typical stay at the Sanctuary ranges from a few days to a few weeks, and on rare occasions, even longer. Sanctuary is a secret. The general public doesn't know of its existence, which is really cool because as Snyder is portraying in Justice League, the Hall of Justice is open to tourism again. It has all of the costumes, it has super decommissioned weapons and trophy rooms. And then there's the secret part they don't need to know about.
Like,
I love it.
Like the OG.
Yeah. To protect the privacy of the heroes, the Trinity discourages them from talking about the Sanctuary, though it is an open secret that many heroes have visited the facility. The only three people who know who goes to the Sanctuary are Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman. No records are kept. Batman sees the Sanctuary as necessity, Wonder Woman sees it as kindness, Superman sees it as good, and now everyone who was at the Sanctuary is dead.
Fuck.
Yeah, so it's going to be starting in September. It's 32 pages in the first issue for $3.99, which is incredibly awesome. And dude, looking at the cover, so Booster Gold and Harley are kind of being pinned as like the two people who are possibly killing all these people. Why are you doing this to my Booster Gold? Please.
Yeah, I've been very wondering, like, because Tom King has been like just destroying Booster. Like, Booster has just been fucking up repeatedly.
Yeah, you're telling me.
And this is like your worst thing that you hate about Booster is him just repeatedly fucking up.
Well, it's like that's part of Booster's character is him fucking up. But like the last page to Batman 48, was it? Where he's just sitting there and he's having a Lady Macbeth moment where it's like, do you still see the blood, right? It's still there, right? I'm like, oh, no, you're so broken. But so on the cover for Heroes in Crisis, there's like these mass figures in gold masks, which is, I guess, supporting the anonymity behind everything.
Anonymity.
There we go. But if you look in the background, like way in the background behind Big Barda, there's Captain Atom. You also see Vixen and Firestorm and Power Girl is there even.
Oh, shit.
Bawana Beast is there. Commander Steel, Animal Man, Huntress, Roy in his stupid hat.
Wait, the trucker hat or the
trucker hat? I hate that hat so fucking much. Kite Man is there.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
He's like right behind Batgirl.
I mean, I would expect him to be there after all the shit he had to go through.
Yeah. So I'm really excited for this. Like, again, some of my favorite storytelling elements about superheroes are not the superhero story, but exploring that psyche, the characterization of that character.
It's kind of incredible that it's taken this long to get to that, like, a story like this. It's just like, yeah, if they're fighting, like, some of the worst people that have done horrible things that they've witnessed, like, of course they're going to break at some point.
I want to see Batman go there and justify why he lets the Joker live every day and finally people up. That's, like, the hardest thing, I think.
I think I may have found my new favorite Twitter. It's called Wheel of Fortune Answers. And they take screen caps from Wheel of Fortune, which is random letters put around. And the caption is just stupid answers for what it is. Like, one of them, the meaty canal of desire. dads are dangerous. The local obese horse. And a lot of these, they actually fit. Oh, the crimes you'll do.
Glad this is what you've been doing for the last, like, 5 minutes.
I was looking through Twitter, and someone retweeted one, and I just, like, I need to take a look in this, and it's a dark path. They only have 82 tweets so far, but it's a trip. A large nude for everything.
So while we were at the Social Causes and Comics, Tom King
experience spoke, boy won't poop toilet.
spoke briefly about this. He's like, well, yeah, the entire purpose of Mr. Miracle is dealing with anxiety and fatherhood and all the things that I'm scared of. He talked about how Sheriff of Babylon was a story about PTSD from a soldier, real-world perspective. But now he wanted to write a story that kind of showed that these heroes that we worship are actually human beings. And, you know, they go through some really tough shit. Like, I really hope someone recorded that diversity. Not diversity. That was the panel Gabe was on. But the Social Causing Comics, because I would love to go back and listen to it. Because, you know, as a medium.
Use it as, like, teaching material almost.
Yeah. I would never show Sheriff of Babylon, but no. Maybe, like, Plain Janes by Cecil Castellucci or Soupy Leaves Home. Even Rocket Raccoon by Matthew Rosenberg. It was at the point where Rocket got relaunched like 3 times. He was in the middle for 5 issues right after Civil War II. And he was like, it's a story about how Rocket accidentally blew something up in New York. And then they detained him because he was a refugee and he was deemed dangerous to society. And this was at like the height of the Syrian refugee crisis. Oh, God. And I'm like, huh, didn't think about that. Interesting.
Huh. Okay. Yeah.
Like all the creators on that panel were just absolutely fascinating to listen to. Especially like, it was just funny listening to Steve Orlando. It was like, well, if you haven't noticed, except for Supergirl, all my main characters are gay. And it's not a book exploring the fact that they're gay, but the society around them. Like, oh, hey, when we did Midnighter and Apollo. Apollo gets shot, gets sent to hell. Pulse nightclub shooting happened at around roughly the same time the pre-production of this happened. And it's just like, oh. No, people need to read this story because it might relate to them. I'm like, dude, this is so cool. I didn't even think about it when this came out. I just got really happy that scary gay leather Batman was back. I told him, and you know, he also said that he has like 3 projects on the way. He's not allowed to say anything about any of them. Or my favorite Social Causing Comics he came up with was when he reinvented the character Aztec to be a Latina woman who, you know, has the Aztec sun god power.
Nice.
Instead of a white guy named Eric. I'm like,
Yeah, you know what? Now it actually fits what you would expect when you hear a hero named Aztec.
Yeah, it was crazy. He also showed me some pages from Wonder Woman that weren't finished yet.
Is he on Wonder Woman right now?
He will be in August, September. Ooh. He's doing a 5-issue story in between writers.
So they still haven't found like a continuing writer then.
Well, I actually like what DC's doing right now. Is that between the long arcs of writers, they're doing like mini arc or a full arc in between. It's like you'll get 5 issues to play with this character while the other writer gets set up for their long term story with their artists. Like how it went from Sam Humphries on Green Lanterns to Tim Seeley, and now Dan Jurgens is writing it full time. Or
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, Dan Jurgens and some like September Solstice is like, and guess who's gonna team up or fight? Simon, Cyborg Superman. Checks the writer, Dan Jurgens checks out.
But speaking of. Little hints from Comic-Con that we got. I got a neat little hint in my last panel of the convention. Ooh. From one Greg Seeps, the voice of Beast Boy on Teen Titans. He told my panel, and I quote, season 6 of Teen Titans might be coming soon. And that there might be, now this one take with a grain of salt because it might just be a tactic to go see the movie. But he said, Teen Titans go to the movies. There might be a preview of season 6.
What? Oh, shit.
again, grain of salt, because it might just be a...
just a clever ploy.
Yeah, it's like, ha, got you.
Even though they've been baiting us already, like, hey, if the movie does well, maybe we'll bring back...
Yeah, Terry Strong said that.
Season 6.
It's like, do I go see it? Because I'm not going to lie, it does look funny.
It looks better than what the actual series was.
Like, I was so... First off, though, Nicolas Cage as Superman, I was so 100% on board with.
This is like, let's bring back that joke.
But then I was a little hesitant with Lil Yachty as Green Lantern. I was like, I don't know. Preview I saw, I'm like, all right, you did good. You did good, Lil Yachty.
Yeah, so some of this spawned from his conversation on Twitter over this past weekend. So one of the things he said on June 2nd was, let's make at least $250 million at the box office and you Teen Titans fans will have anything you want, I'm sure. Cartoon Network, fans get what they want. And then on the 18th, he tweeted, someone asked him, one question still remains though, Teen Titans continue on Cartoon Network or Adult Swim? He said both would be epic, let fans have what they want. Greenheart. So.
But yeah, that's what he did propose with, like, maybe on Adult Swim, maybe on Cartoon Network, he's not sure.
Yeah, I think it goes back to the same thing Greg Weisman really talked about after Young Justice got canceled after season 2. It's just vote with your wallet, be vocal.
So
tell them what you want.
If
what
you, really, really fans want. Out there want season 6 of Teen Titans regular, not go, just regular, we need $250 million at the box office for Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Make, gotta do math, 3 times as much as Solo did in its opening weekend.
But we just have to get at that for the whole lifetime of the movie.
But here's the thing. People have kids.
Right. And those kids love Teen Titans Go. The amount of questions at that panel for Greg Sieps about Teen Titans, just Go specifically, was astronomical. Like, anytime he mentions something about Teen Titans Go, you hear all the little kids cheering about it. I'm like... All right.
I'm in a not. This is not my audience that I'm used to.
Well, and then when it got down to my side of the aisle, like, Charlotte Chung and Lucy Poole were also on there, and they're talking about Overwatch. They did their lines, nerf this, and heroes never die for a price. They're like, ooh, yay, they did it. And then it got down to, again, I keep blinging on her name, but she was Panty and Stocking, Kana and Fairy Tail.
Not Monica Rial.
But... she did one of her lines from Danganronpa, and I'm like, oh, that's my side of the table. Yay.
Well, I'm actually
going down a really weird. Yeah, no.
Did you just search Panty?
Yes.
I searched Panty IMDb.
Panty and Stocking with Garter Belt.
Like, that's what you gotta search.
Jamie Marchi?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, she started talking about, like, doing Panty and Stocking. Like, someone asked, like, if you could go back and do a character you missed. She's like, I want to do more Panty and Stocking just because the way that ended. And I'm like,
yes. Where the fuck is season 2?
What studio were they?
Hang on. I still
were they Gainax?
I think they were. That's probably why it hasn't been come out. Because Gainax is, like, in just falling apart. Yeah, it was Gainax.
Zach, I found the perfect episode. I know you said you're already committed to watching Little Witch. There is a straight up just like mech fight in an episode.
Oh my god.
He says mech fight. It's a Gurren Lagann episode at the very end.
Oh my god.
Like, hardcore, they form a drill sword. I'm like
straight up the end is like a drill arm comes out. And
my drill is the drill that will pierce the heavens.
Pretty much they do that speech. And I'm just like, I was watching, I'm sitting there like, this is definitely Studio Trigger because that's Gurren Lagann right there.
Oh, speaking of that, I'm going to make kind of a quick amendment. Let me get this timestamp.
To the Constitution.
Kill a Kill game. We didn't even put it on there.
Because it got announced mid-convention.
Yeah, it's coming out, I think, sometime next year, they said. But it's a collaboration with Studio Trigger.
And Arc System Works.
Yeah, Arc System is just publishing. It's actually the developer who did the Little Witch game. Which I've heard is not the best, but maybe if they have an actual budget, they could do something with it, because it looks like it was kind of underfunded. But it's going to be a battle action game, so kind of similar. It looks like it's going to be similar to the Naruto games, in terms of like a 3D kind of like fighting action game, the way it was like the few screen caps that were released.
I'm more intrigued now because I thought it was going to be another like Dragon Ball FighterZ where it was like 2D fighting. No, it's
definitely not 2D.
And then like occasionally when that hits, they do the 2.5 rotation.
No, it looks like it's going to be like a full 3D battle action.
Interesting. Interesting.
But yeah, I'm excited for it because that game, that's like the perfect game for that.
Can't wait to play as BDSM.
The big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I forget his name. It's been so long since I watched that series.
I just remember, like,
never seen it.
The Elite Four was a kendo master,
a marching band,
a hacker, and then what started as like the muscle who turned into BDSM later.
He was really into it.
And the kendo guy got rid of his eyesight and then got like an Iron Man suit for kendo. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? I love this.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. It'll be fun.
That's fair.
Do need to watch Kill the Kill.
No, I honestly do, man. Because I showed you my summer games done at a moderate pace. Instead of, you know, summer games done quick. And some of the games I've already played, or I just want to do some trophy or achievement collecting. Like, I would love to 100% World of Final Fantasy. I would not 100% Cyber Sleuth because it's like, win 30 online battles. I'm like, fuck that.
It's like, I don't have PlayStation Plus, so bye.
Or even if it's not PlayStation Plus, it's like, I'm so behind on the meta of what that game would be. I would just, hey, Steve, let's go boost.
You want 3 Shine Greymon burst modes because they have AoE attacks. You want to work on building them up so their attack is super broken. So it's just like, attack boost, attack boost, attack boost, and then just use your AoE to just wipe the floor with them.
You're too slow.
Yeah. You just explained finding like the level 99 bosses in that game, Zach. You would like Cyber Sleuth because it plays like Persona.
Yeah, I've heard it's like if you want a Persona game,
play that. I need to get the second Cyber Sleuth still.
Hacker's Memory.
Because that has so many awesome... It has my favorite Digimon, Emperor Greymon, and Susanoomon.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, but let's give Greymon, let's take War Greymon, put him in a medieval suit of armor, give him a giant sword that is also a dragon crossbow.
See, I like Victory Greymon better personally.
Yeah, Victory Greymon is the chump version of Emperor Greymon.
Yeah, but Victory Greymon has the giant ass Buster Bastard sword.
Have you seen Emperor Greymon's sword? It's a giant bastard sword that once again transforms into a crossbow that shoots a literal fire dragon from it.
So on June 7, 2018, in Burbank, yeah, California, DC announced the return of Vertigo Comics.
Yeah, thought so. Change the subject.
So the relaunch is currently being held by Mark Doyle, who was the former Batman editor, and beforehand he was also the Vertigo editor before that. He was who brought like Becky Cloonan, Scott Snyder into the fold, all of Scott Snyder's like army of students like James Tynan, Marguerite Bennett.
Thank you.
God, DC's killing it. So Mark Doyle came back and is under his leadership, DC Vertigo Editorial is rededicating its focus to creating modern, socially relevant, high concept and incentive stories appealing to readers of all genres. DC Vertigo has created 7 new comics, giving writers and artists creative freedom to tell their most imaginative stories. So, first one is called Border Town from writer Eric M. Esquivel, who wrote on Adventure Time, Starburns Presents, with art by Ramon Villalobos, who did Nighthawk and America. When a crack in the border between worlds releases an army of monsters from Mexican folklore, badass, into the small town of Devil's Fork, Arizona. The residents blame the ensuing weirdness, the shared nightmares, and the otherworldly radio transmissions, the mysterious goat mutilations on the god dang illegals. With racial tension supernaturally charged, it's up to a new kid in town, Frank Dominguez, and a motley crew of high school misfits to discover what's really going on. Again, I love that Vertigo's going back to its roots of like, look, we're socially relevant again. We're telling these weird, dark, magical stories. Like, my media Vertigo titles are always like Preacher, Constantine, Effigy even. You would like Effigy, Steve. It's by Tim Seeley.
It's kind of about Power Rangers.
Yeah, fandom. It's the Power Rangers at panels. Or not Power Rangers at panels, but Power Rangers after their time. It's interesting. Hex Wives from Ben Blacker, co-creator of the Thrilling Adventure Hour with Mirka Andolfo, who did Wonder Woman, Shade, The Changing Girl. Women are too powerful. They must be tamed. A malevolent conspiracy of men brainwashes a coven of witches to be subservient suburban housewives. But it's only a matter of time before the women remember their power.
I'm interested. It's Bitch Planet.
Yeah. Then we have American Carnage from writer Brian Hill, who is currently writing the Titans TV show, Michael Cray for Wildstorm, as well as taking over Detective Comics for a mini arc with art by Leandro Fernandez, who did art on The Names and The Punisher Max. So it's going to be very stylized. And this thrilling crime saga, disgraced FBI agent Richard Wright, who is biracial but can pass for white, goes undercover in a white supremacist group believed to be responsible for the death of a fellow agents. Then we have Goddess Mode, which I know Zach has already sold, from Zoe Quinn, who wrote Crash Override. She was featured in People's 25 Women Who Are Changing the World and Forbes 30 Under 30 with art by Robbie Rodriguez. Thought he was retiring. With art,
hey, little do we know.
Yeah. He did Spider-Gwen and Federal Bureau of Physics. In the near future, where all of humanity's needs are administered by a godlike AI. Here's Zach Cyberpunk. It's one young woman's horrible job to do tech support on it. But when Cassandra finds herself violently drawn into a hidden, deadly digital world beneath our own Digimon, she discovers a group of superpowered women and horrific monsters locked in a secret war for cheat codes to reality.
That actually sounds fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I'm all about all of this.
Robbie Rodriguez is also keeping his colorist from Spider-Gwen, so it's very high neon concept arts.
Yeah, he already has the neon look.
Yeah.
Do you think, though, partway through the series, they're going to digivolve into digital champions?
I hope so.
They power up.
The next title is High Level from writer Rob Sheridan. He was the former art director for Nine Inch Nails, the co-creator of Year Zero, alternate reality video game, with art by Barnaby Begenda, who did the Omega Men, fuck yeah, woo, and Green Lanterns. Hundreds of years after the world ended, the human society was rebuilt from scratch. A self-interested smuggler with a price on her head is forced to traverse a new continent of danger and mystery to deliver a child messiah to High Level. I love those stories. A mythical city at the top of the world from which no one has ever returned. I love the child messiah stories, or like every
the overpowered kid that they just have to protect,
or the you unlock the suitcase and there's a human being inside trope. Those are my favorite. Outlaw Star, yeah. Zoids.
All right. Yeah. This list is great, but there's one book fucking missing on this list.
There's two more we have to go through.
Oh, okay.
Safe Sex from writer Tina Horn, host and producer of Why Are People Into That podcast, and artist Mike Dowling. A dystopian sci-fi thriller about a ragtag team of sex workers fighting for the freedom to love in a world where sexual pleasure is monitored and regulated and policed by the government, which is amazing. And then the last one, which is one of my personal favorites, it's called The Second Coming. Are you ready for this, Steve? So this is the writer Mark Russell, who's done the Flintstone series. He's currently doing who's the Pink Panther, Hanna-Barbera, Snagglepuss. He also wrote the book God Is Disappointed in You, with art by Richard Pace from Imaginary Fiends, which was an awesome title. God sends Jesus to Earth in hopes that he will learn from the family trade from Sun Man, an all-powerful superhero who is like the varsity quarterback son God never had. But upon his return to Earth, Christ is appalled to discover what has become of his gospel and vows to set the record straight. So Mark Doyle goes on in this DC article to say, it's time to rebuild DC Vertigo. We're returning to our roots.
Did Jesus just get sent to day camp?
Yes.
Also, if Jesus doesn't say what the line, did I fucking stutter at least once, I will be thoroughly disappointed.
The meme.
Anyway.
So Mark Doyle goes on to say, we're returning to our roots by spotlighting the most exciting new voices in comics, as well as bringing new voices to comics. From corners of television, games, music, activism, podcasting, comics, and more, all of our creators are passionate and have something to say. These sophisticated stories have amazing new characters and vast worlds to explore. That's what it has always been about for me. New stories, new voices, new possibilities. We're creating a new generation of DC Vertigo classics for all readers of all genres. You know what the one thing we're missing is?
Are we both on the same page?
American Vampire?
Well, yes. I didn't even think about American Vampire. But also freaking Clean Room. Where is it?
Yeah.
It was never officially canceled, but it essentially is in limbo. Where is it?
Yeah. Because at one point, Scott did say the third cycle is coming back. And that's...
I mean, what time does the man have? He's working on Justice League. He's been messing around with the whole universe.
He has Batman Last Night, which Greg Capullo is really excited about. He kept talking about it. But... And he's doing Witches. I think Witches is finally coming back this year.
Even though it was supposed to be out last year.
American Vampire. Bring Stephen King back for an issue. So big things that Mark Doyle also has done. He worked with Becky Cloonan to develop what Gotham Academy became to be. He also worked on Grayson with Tom King and Tim Seeley. He even did some stuff with Batgirl. So it's really cool that someone that's this focused and this dedicated from the Batman family is coming back to his roots and doing these really cool stories.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Vertigo is... I haven't really read any Vertigo titles other than Clean Room and... Imaginary Fiends lately.
I think this, and I mean, this is a good call from DC since this is kind of like a lot. I imagine they're looking at kind of like the Image and Aftershock market of like, okay, these books are selling really well. Let's use the imprint that we have that can do this stuff and use it the way it was intended to be used.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, I don't want to say they're throwing stuff at the wall since the Young Animal imprint's ending. Where eventually we can get Geoff Johns' imprint coming out. But now we also have all of the Sandman stuff that comes out in September. Oh, all the issue ones. As well as all these Vertigo titles. And I'm like, well, right, you're oversaturating me a little bit.
Some of the Vertigo titles don't come out till December, I looked.
Yeah. But it's like, oh my god, the market. Oh my god, my wallet.
Too much.
I have to drop more Marvel titles. I only have three.
I'm running out of things to drop.
Meanwhile, all my Image titles are ending.
Oh.
Killer Be Killed, Descender. I don't read anything else from Image. Wickdiv is ending.
Soon. It's probably... We still probably have like 8 months to a year with Wickdiv.
It's going on break in August, I think.
So probably a year, I would say, from here.
It's making me sad.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, man. What else every time we think it's going to be a short episode, we always go long.
It's old man Thor. It's his fault. It's the Wheel of Fortune's fault.
Just Denver Comic Con left.
It's the Mighty Morphin Avenger Geriatrics League.
Denver Comic Con was a lot of fun. I'm really glad they brought a lot more high-profile comic book guests.
Finally.
It was kind of annoying that they were all regulated to one corner, and it was just a tight squeeze there.
I was actually talking to John about it, and apparently like all of them are run by the same group.
Yep, Comic Sketch Art.
Yeah, and that's why like... One, that's how they got everyone, and two, that's like why they're all over in that same area.
Mm-hmm.
But they could have like split it up into like two aisles or something,
Or just one would have helped larger aisle. Like you go eventually further down that row, and like Freddie Williams II has this giant ass table because it's like I did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Hell yeah!
But dude, I had a lot of fun this year. The panels were really awesome. Just being hugged by Tom King was the highlight of everything.
I personally think this year was the best executed out of the three I've gone.
Which,
in like, terms of guests and paneling, yes.
Well, in terms of guests and paneling, and then even getting in was such a smooth process. Even
on the second day.
No, even the first day when we had to get badges, it was a... Like, we waited in line for a little bit, but as we got in... They did the bag check, did the wand, handed us our badges.
The badge process was probably the cleanest.
Okay. So you and I had two different experiences because I was trying to get in for a panelist badge, and I had to walk around the building, literally around the entire convention center, to end up at the same door I originally was.
Why?
Because it's like, oh, you're a panelist? You're at the wrong door. You need to go through the exhibitor's door. Okay, go to the exhibitor's door. You're at the wrong door. You actually want to go to this back entrance door. Okay, go to the back entrance door. Actually, you know, you go to entry number 2. That's where I was. I had 6,000 steps before I even walked into the convention center.
So, like, I don't know why they wouldn't just let you in the normal exit or the normal entrance.
Which is where I was supposed to be let into.
But even Saturday, like...
Saturday was pretty smooth.
Normally, Saturday is the clusterfuck of the days because everyone's there. It's a massive line, which it was still a massive line to get in, but they had a very clean setup.
Zach and I have met a World Cup friend.
Yeah, dude, we were watching the World Cup over someone's shoulder.
Yeah, I think you like peeked over like, hey, it's the World Cup. He's like, hey, you want to watch? It's like,
friend.
Yeah.
Football friend. Did you in betweeners him?
No.
Oh, we did afterwards.
Yeah, I was like, oh, friend, football friend.
Football friend. I can't get high anymore. My throat's.
But yeah, I mean, I would agree for like, in terms of that organization, it worked out pretty well. But again, I was talking to who it was Matt and Dom on Saturday. Apparently, like behind the scenes, like it was horrendously disorganized.
Say from what you told me about John's experience getting in on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare of he set up like what 5 minutes before speed pass people were let in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I could see where that could take some work, but as far as like attendee setup, was a nice, clean, smooth process. And even on the show floor, Saturday didn't feel like Saturday previous years.
Yeah, that's true. Like, it did feel better.
Even on the floor, like I think they may have spread things out more. It wasn't as cramped and clustered. At least that's kind of the impression I got, because going from booth to booth was pretty simple. There were some congestions, like as always on Merch and Mace, around like the pop tables, and
yeah, it's always
certain tables always have a crowd where it's trying to fight through. But I give kudos to Pop Culture Classroom this year.
It was a little weird at like some of the panels that where there were just no moderators, and then like some just showed up eventually. It's just like, that seems kind of weird. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, I was like, we didn't really need one on that Batman panel.
No.
Greg Capullo was doing a great job.
Greg Capullo and James Tynan were doing fine.
The moderator started asking his own questions, and it's the same questions from the Wonder Woman panel, and it was the same questions from every other panel did.
I'm sure the moderators, they give them like a, here's your generic list of questions. No?
I'm sure he just had his own
Gabe
generic list.
From Thinking Outside Longbox had to moderate 6 panels, and he told me he took like 16 pages of notes.
Jesus.
To talk to people about. Yeah.
So maybe
Gabe
just because I know which moderator you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think he just has his own generic list of questions of like the, I got to keep this moving. So,
but like in what world?
It's generic, like, question number one.
What's your favorite piece of memorabilia you ever held about your favorite character you worked on?
I'm saying like, Brian Azrael was like, none. Like on the Wonder Woman band, I was like, nothing. And then someone was like, I shook Linda Carter's hand. She's not a prop. But
it could be just like, what's your favorite experience outside of working on that character is a better phrase question. Like Greg retelling a story. Yeah. Scott Snyder didn't show up to a panel because he wants to go meet Ben Affleck. It's like, that's a good story. So like, yeah, I loved going down that double X aisle too, just to be surrounded by very like-minded people as myself. Like, again, it's the row of people that are like, yeah, we're actually here to see the comic people because we really like the comic people at Comic-Con.
So, like, after you got your Tom King hug and you came running up to us, everyone, like, giggled when you're like, Tom King hugged me.
Yeah.
But then everyone's like, sweet.
Oh,
yeah, he's in a good
mood.
There
was also another fucking amazing interaction I saw while we were waiting in that line with the mom. That was like there, obviously there with her son and probably like a few other people. But DMC was just standing over there. She's like, "Oh my god, it's DMC!"
Well, yeah, we had a guy
he's
in
like,
our line
losing your mind.
Like, he's like, "Is that DMC over there? Oh my god, it's DMC! I think I need to go meet him. Will you guys hold my spot in line if I go meet him?"
Like,
took his bags, ran over there, met DMC, took some photos, came back, and the guy's like, "Yeah, just come back in line. You're good."
And that's my favorite thing, especially it's like, hey, man, my friend is further up in line with us. Do you mind if I go up there? It's like, yeah, there's plenty of space. I don't care. No one's going to cut me. Where it's just like, hey, I'm going to go over to Cecil Castellucci over there. Do you guys mind that I leave and come back with my friend here? And everyone's like, yeah, whatever, dude. I'm like,
so I think we did.
I'm out.
I think we did play shuffle in line like 3 times in the Capullo line.
Yep. Yeah.
Because like Mitch Gerards is over there. It's like, you and I went. Got the signatures, came back. Zach went over, got his signatures, came back, and was like, no one cares because we're all here for the exact same purpose.
Mm-hmm. It was. I had a lot of fun. I still think like C2E2 and Emerald City are probably some of my favorite cons. But this year at DCC was probably one of my favorite. I didn't buy any comics. Like
I didn't either.
I didn't either. Like I think everything I bought was prints.
I bought art. I did buy a trade from Charles Soule.
Wait, no, I lied. I bought the 25 Draken variant.
Steve, you liar.
Which now sits in between all of the helmets.
Yeah.
Where it should.
But, like, usually in Comic-Con's past, I've been, like, digging around for back issues and stuff I need. But I'm, like, at a point where my to-read stack is overflowing. I'm like, you know what? I don't need to buy anything else.
Well, and even your I'm getting signature stack, where it's like you bring out this big stack, like, I'm going to go through this real quick, take out what I don't need, and you left two things here.
That was the third time I went through it.
It's like you send the picture, like it, the signatures are growing, and then you show me the day before, and you're like, yeah, here's the stack. It doesn't fit in my folio.
Yeah, the point that you brought up before we actually started recording that I agreed on was, it seemed like the cosplay game was kind of low-key this year.
It was. Like, I wonder if it is the...
The kind of the, rules.
Well, since there's the heightened...
A lot of people got burnt.
Yeah, like the heightened security kind of led to less big things
even
coming
though there
in.
Were swords everywhere.
There were swords everywhere, but it was like, it was because...
But no blades, Zach.
It's only because I was in front of someone who had to get a prop checked out. Your props had to be all styrofoam.
Hmm.
You couldn't have anything solid in there. It had to be complete styrofoam. At least that's what... They asked the person in front of me when they were looking at it. Like, they were kind of squeezing it and feeling like, is this all styrofoam? I said, yes. And they said, all right, cool.
Oh, Rachel walked in with, like, PVC. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, her and this nest. It was completely collapsible. She still got a prop checked. Like, again, there's a really weird double standard, like, if you go to certain volunteers. And there was, like, this poor lady who got stopped. She had a cane, and they prop checked her cane. What? I'm like, oh, my God. Her disability is not a prop. What the fuck?
To be fair, though, it is something they have to check. Because there are things you can buy out there of canes with hidden compartments in them.
Yeah, but you don't have to put a prop thing on her poor cane.
You do, though, to show someone check this, because she could be walking around, not have a tag on it.
It's actually against the Denver Comic Con guidelines to prop check canes and walkers and everything else.
Yeah, there was like, really? If you go on Twitter... There were some major fuck-ups on Denver Comic-Con's part.
Well, I know they had a thing of, for the David Tennant panel on Sunday, they had the, I think it was David, no, it was another Mark Shepard spotlight, and I guess people were, or first Denver Comic-Con put out a tweet saying, the mandate for today, no clearing auditoriums, like no clearing theaters. If you're sitting there, you can sit there for the next panel. And so people even double check this and were told, yeah, if you go into the Mark Shepard one, you can stay for the David Tennant. But then after that panel, people were getting kicked out of the panel and being told to go back in line.
See, so there's the cane story I had. There is someone who ran a Copic marker tutorial. They did not...
Hold on, a what marker?
Copic.
I have no idea what that is.
They're like $5 markers.
Oh, is that like the...
The really like, nice brush ones.
Okay, yeah. No, I know
so,
what you're talking about then.
Someone ran a Copic marker tutorial. Did not do a tutorial. Had a slideshow and a PDF file to show off. Told people during the panel to buy off-brand markers and everything. And I'm like, this person's not even a representative of Copic. They just got this panel. And that was one major stink on Reddit. The other stink on Reddit was one of these ladies who was presenting on, I can't remember what it was exactly. It was one of the diverse creators in comics panels, and she's an Asian lady. And she was on this panel with three other people. Mm-hmm. All three were white ladies. They asked her not to present during the panel because they had it covered already and they had a PowerPoint.
Hey,
like the three other ladies said.
The three other ladies asked her not to present at the panel she was asked to be on.
That's
because
just them
they
being,
had a PowerPoint.
See, that's just them being assholes. I wouldn't put that on.
But
Denver
it's like
because
it
wasn't like something
they
hashed out with DCC, is it?
And apparently, these ladies also were not aware she was on the panel. It was like again, it may not just be on DCC part, but it's like this weird little fuck up in the middle that's just like, ooh, this is really bad negative press for you. Mm-hmm. As well as
putting the Ruby panel.
Yeah, the Ruby panel that no one from Ruby was aware of.
And yeah, that was someone else's fuck up of they just said, yeah, sure, whatever, and didn't fact check it.
Yeah.
Before putting it on the, because they didn't put the names on there until the day before,
mm-hmm.
like that Thursday before. And that's when it's like, hey, for realsies though, we're not coming. Like, oh, off the app.
Yeah.
They did clear that one up pretty quickly and apologized for it publicly. And
mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Well, again, I enjoyed myself really great. And again, there was a lot of weird disorganization things that did occur that did not necessarily affect me in any way. But it's just like, that's...
But nah, should it have, doesn't look good.
To be fair, no con is perfect.
Yeah.
There's always some harangue, some stink that comes out of something that like, oh, these guys didn't do this at this convention, or one person didn't fully understand these guidelines and checked a cane.
Yeah.
It's like, not everything is going to go 100% perfect.
Then that's true.
And it's how they roll with the punches, which it seems like they did a good job of it. That I think the biggest stink I think came out of Denver Comic Con was they cleared the theater before the David Tennant panel. And a lot of people were upset about that who were sitting in that panel before.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see the picture of the line that existed.
Well, when we came out of Rachel's panel, you could see the line from mm-hmm. across the hallway.
Like, nope.
And I was like, I'm going to go to the David Tennant panel. You guys go do stuff. Saw the line. I'm going to come with you guys.
I'm going to watch this on YouTube later.
Which is already up there.
Yep, because you know what? They did a good job on that. I got to say, too, that their evening programming this year was really great. So, yeah, Aquabats on a Friday night.
That Aquabat show was...
Fucking love
that. And all the comedians. Like, I was pleasantly surprised.
I was, like, Adam Caton Holland, again, I love his stuff. I was so glad he was there. He did a great job.
Didn't you know he was local?
Yep. He was the bird guy who made Ron sign over his entire fortune. The
twist.
Burn me, Ron.
That was like the ultimate anti-joke. I was just sitting there like, man, what's the punchline
here? It was like I knew it was coming because like that's his comedy style of the long build-up with the worth it punchline. Of like, but at the same time, I'm like, how? Like, what's going to happen here?
Yeah. The comedians killed it beforehand, and then Aquabats. Like, I did legitimately feel a little bit bad that they were playing in the giant-ass Belco Theater. Yeah. And they're like, all right, everyone, get up and dance. I'm like, dude, I've been on my feet since 6 a.m.
And it's like, I don't think you understand how little space there is between the shows to where only, like, the only thing Zach and I could do was just do the arm movement for skanking.
Dude, seeing a T-Rex skank on stage,
during crazy. During the song Doing Science. Like, it makes you wonder, was T-Rex a plant, or was that just the best coincidence ever?
And, yeah, so Brandon never saw them, really enjoyed himself. Hannah and Rachel never saw them and really enjoyed themselves.
Me and my friends loved them in middle school, so this is like, holy shit, this is a throwback.
I love ska music as a whole. I need to put more on my playlist, but at the same time, I'm just like, it's like this is ska music.
Like,
and then you look over at John,
is like... Oh,
like, John is like clapping.
He's like, he's so doing cute. The over the head clap. And then when Shark Fighter came on, I looked over and like the song started and I see him like fist goes up and he starts singing along. And I'm like, that man needed this show.
Yeah. And then even on Saturday, they actually had like an award ceremony for all these writers that got nominated.
Yeah.
So like Cecil Castellucci was there. Again, I just mainly see her Twitter and Instagram. So she was nominated for 3 different things. They probably didn't do any Sunday programming.
Nah.
But like they're slowly building up to like really great hype levels. I'm glad that they didn't bring the entire car showcase again. Like, man, that was cool the first 2-3 years.
Yeah, but it takes up a lot of room that everyone has to walk around.
Get a chance to find any of like the tabletop gaming stuff downstairs this year. I don't know if it was there.
I don't think there was
a couple things. I think the majority of it was upstairs, like around the wizard's chest area. But there wasn't like a designated like play tabletop games here. Yeah. There was one that they were selling that they had like demonstrations of, like you could sit down and actually play it with them.
Yeah.
But I don't think they really had a dedicated area.
Yeah.
Which, you know, they're changing things up.
I think one thing they should also do.
Sorry. I did notice they didn't have sci-fi speed dating this year either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the giant wedding.
Yeah.
One thing they should have done, though, was have like 30 gaming towers, Fortnite LAN party. Oh,
sweet God, that would have been full the whole time.
Exactly.
No.
Leave your kids.
Not Fortnite.
Babysitting.
Realistic battlegrounds.
Totally accurate battlegrounds.
Yes, totally accurate battlegrounds.
Yeah.
I do want to end on a high note of, I got to shout out this awesome cosplayer an artist at a booth. I should have gotten her booth name just so I could shout her out. But she was cosplaying as 70s DM Matt Mercer from Critical Role's intro. I'm just like, oh my God, that's the fucking incredible.
The Oscar.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had this print from one of the scenes that they played out, which was really well done too. But yeah, I was like walking by it and like I saw her glass. This is like the first time I've seen her. Like I saw her booth like several times, but she was never there every time I was walking past. And I like caught her glasses and they're like the big, really thick rimmed, like old school, like 70s aviators glasses. I'm like, hold on a second. Like, she had her hair done in the same way as Matt Mercer. She had the leather jacket. I'm like, are you doing DM Matt Mercer? She's like, oh my God, you're the first person who's noticed that all weekend. Thank you. Just like, I got you, critter. I got you, fellow critter.
Well, if we're doing shout-outs, I want to throw out a couple real quick. One, which Zach will agree to this, our great friend Sorrow Hang did fantastic commissions for the both of us.
It is on my wall now.
Mine, once I get a frame, it will go up on the wall, along with every other All Might I have.
You just need a Wall Might.
I do. Were you not there when we made that joke originally?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even talking to my mic for this.
Yeah, no, I need to make a Wall Might. But I also want to shout out Nat Rogers, which is her Twitter handle as well.
Oh, is she?
She's the one I got the headshots from.
We were just talking to.
Yeah, fellow critter. Who did amazing headshots of the Mighty Nine and Sweet Birdchild Kiri.
Protect her at all costs.
To where we were just sitting there for like half an hour just talking about Critical Role and how she was at C2E2. And when people didn't have things for Matt Mercer to sign when he was there, she actually took some of her art up, gave it to him for him to sign for other people. I was like, that's amazing.
She's the person who did all the animals with the quotes.
Dude, I don't know what we missed. I'm on Instagram looking up the Denver Comic Con hashtag, and there's some really badass cosplay.
Really?
Yeah, like there's someone that did a freaking incredible Maleficent.
Well, I think we didn't really go around the cosplay area because they changed where
Hot Jesus
Cosplay Canyon was. Like they just made that an exit area now. So I don't even know where, like, the major cosplay hang was.
Yeah, that's what it
was. Yeah, that's what Kayla was saying, too. Like, there was no dedicated cosplay area to hang out at, which is where we always used to meet them before. Right.
It's like, okay, we're going to go to lunch. We need to get everyone else to Cosplay
area,
Canyon.
There was the one
but
area
there
they always had.
There was cell phone reception this year.
I was
kind of.
Yeah, we were actually able to text and make plans to meet up in almost real time. It was amazing.
Yeah. Other high notes. So Sarah Hang, he's awesome. You should go check him out on Instagram at Sarah Hang Art, SaroHangArt. He did really incredible commissions for Zach and Steve. Our friend Aggravated Art, Tim Husky. Also,
oh,
there's
shit.
No, we're skipping him. Fuck him.
We're skipping him, Tusky.
I love Tim. Sorry. Go also check out Galatea Cosplay on Instagram. Galatea, GALATEA 423 on Instagram. That's my girlfriend. She's really pretty and she does really awesome cosplay. Also, our friend Rachel did Emphas Nest. She built the entire thing in 12 days.
Pretty much her Star Wars twin.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Wasn't the person actually there too?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I tried to tag Ron Howard in a tweet. I'm like, hey, did you check this out? Huh?
Yeah.
One of our friends is Wacky Inflatable Arm Man. So if you see them on Instagram or Twitter, please tag us so we can send it to her.
I'm sorry, it is Wacky Wave Inflatable Arm Flatly Tube Man.
Sorry. Other general shouts. Check out Hall of Justice Comics and Collectibles located in Parker, Colorado.
Also, I need to make an addendum to my shout out. Nat Rogers' Twitter handle is @dat_emu. DAT_EMU.
Dat Love emu. It. Trying to think. Is there anyone else that was our friends that we visited a lot? If you're interested in furry art, our friend Kari Kurify on Instagram, she does furry commissions. She's great. She showed us all of her furry commissions this weekend. I laughed at her.
Shout out to Tim and his
softcore porn.
Softcore hentai, as he called it.
His sub hentai commission.
It's like, so,
if someone asks you, like, can I have fan art from Food Wars? Are you drawing hentai at that point?
I'd say softcore. Like, that's
like the one lady that was covered by the eels in the episode you watched today. I'm like, no, that's porn.
She still had some clothes on, and it was covering all the naughty bits. That is like that is softcore porn. And even the girls where the spoon was just perfectly aligned to cover the nipples, softcore. Borderline hardcore, but at the same time, softcore.
Also, Muscle Geek Physique on Instagram. It's about as it says. He did the incredible Ranger Slayer that was walking around.
Nice.
Yeah, dude walking around as Kimberly Hart, allegedly.
Kimberly Oliver.
Sorry. Still don't know. Who knows?
Right. I think it's revealed in the GoGo issue that I haven't read yet. But
the latest one that came out?
Yeah.
Nope.
They said more.
We get the graveyard sword.
Say more details are revealed about Ranger Slayer, but no.
Kind of. I just wanted to figure out how we got to that point.
But anyways, hey, Zach, do we have anything under the comment section?
We're not reading it.
We have one.
I'm vetoing.
Is it a thing or?
Him Tusky. Wrote in to z2podcast.com/com.
Who the fuck could that
be? I'm vetoing.
What's his question? This is relevant. Who will win the fight, Dr. Doom or Sora? This is definitely not Tim Husky, by the way.
Well. That will be answered next week.
Boom. Got him.
It's beautiful. Because Tim did make an effort to tell me I submitted.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah, no, he did the same thing. He's like, definitely not
him, Tusky.
No.
Oh, yeah. Crap. Do you remember what AC's booth was? He was right next to Tim. I don't know if you guys talked to AC as much as...
Nah, we talked... So we only talked to Tim, like, at the very last day because we made it a goal to go over
I finally found him. I was like, oh, this is where you've been this whole time.
Yeah. All right, guys. So we're going to call it a night. Thank you for listening to your random episode of the ZZ Podcast. If you want to reach us, hit us up on the Facebook, the Instagram, the Twitter. I actually learned we had an Instagram this week.
We don't use it.
Wait, we have an Instagram?
I grabbed the handle, but we don't use it.
I would use it. I have four.
I need to, or you need to be Instagram man then.
And Twitter again. I need Twitter login eventually. Hit us up on all those platforms because we enjoy being on them and enjoying talking to you. You can also hit us at
z2podcast.com/comment where you can leave dumb things like Tim did or actual questions that you want us to talk about.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And as always, leave us a rating, subscription, whatever. Smash that subscribe button, hit the little bell.
Wherever you listen to us.
We will read all our reviews live on air and react to you appropriately. If you tell us to fuck off, but give us a 5-star rating, we will love you.
Still accepted.
Come on, man. It's 5 stars.
Yeah.
5-star fuck off? Sounds exciting.
I mean, if you guys give us 5 stars, we'll stop asking you for it. Therefore, we'll fuck off.
Yeah.
Boom.
We're just taking a piss.
Do it.
Dude.
Oh, God.
Grace.
Oh,
our friend Grace did sexy Palpatine. It's amazing.
And her tagline that she decided on was, have you ever heard of the tale of Dark Plagueis?
And these thighs. So incredible.
It was like, Grace, thank you. It's incredible.
She had a nihilistic Snapchat, which is one of the most incredible things ever. I loved it. Anyways, we're going to go to sleep. Zach needs to edit this, and Kingdom Hearts comes out in January next year. Yay!
T-minus 7 months.
7 months, 11 days.
Bing! Bing! Bing!
Love you, Internet.